November 22nd. Our reading in the Old Testament today comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, verse 1 through chapter 45, verse 12. We'll see that somebody must serve in the new temple. So God gave Ezekiel instructions concerning the Levites and priests and the manner of worship he wanted. I want you to note the emphasis on the word my sanctuary, my food, my covenant, my holy things, my table, and so on. One reason the temple was destroyed is that the priests and Levites forgot it was the house of God, and they did in it whatever they pleased. What a privilege it is to minister for the Lord. You wonder why people would want to give their privileges to others, especially men who were not qualified. Never lose the wonder of belonging to God and being asked to serve Him. Such an attitude always leads to sin. Unfaithfulness in service can lead to loss of privileges, but faithfulness can mean being able to draw near to serve the Lord. The priests had to be careful what they wore, what they ate and drank, and how they looked. How could they teach the people to have discernment if they themselves did not practice discernment? The prince will worship only at the threshold of the gate, and the people only at the entrance. But we have the great privilege today of entering into the very presence of God, into the Holy of Holies. However, like the prince, we should not return from worship as we came. Things should be different because we have met with the Lord. And we must not forget the daily burnt offering. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the Old Testament. November 22nd, Ezekiel chapter 44, verse 1 through chapter 45, verse 12. Then the man brought me, Ezekiel, back to the east gateway in the outer wall, but it was closed. And the Lord said to me, "This gate must remain closed. It will never again be opened. No man will ever pass through it, for the Lord, the God of Israel, entered here. Thus it must always remain shut. Only the prince himself may sit inside this gateway to feast in the Lord's presence. But he may come and go only through the gateway's foyer." Then the man brought me through the north gateway to the front of the temple. I looked and saw that the glory of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord, and I fell to the ground with my face in the dust. And the Lord said to me, "Son of man, take careful notice. Use your eyes and ears. Listen to everything I tell you about the regulations concerning the Lord's temple. Take careful note of who may be admitted to the temple and who is to be excluded from it. And give these rebels, the people of Israel, this message from the sovereign Lord. O people of Israel, enough of your disgusting sins. You have brought uncircumcised foreigners into my sanctuary, people who have no heart for God. In this way, you profaned my temple even as you offered me my food, the fat and blood of sacrifices. Thus, in addition to all your other disgusting sins, you have broken my covenant. You have not kept the laws I gave you concerning these sacred rituals, for you have hired foreigners to take charge of my sanctuary. So this is what the sovereign Lord says: no foreigners, including those who live among the people of Israel, will enter my sanctuary if they have not been circumcised and do not love the Lord. And the men of the tribe of Levi, who abandoned me when Israel strayed away from me to worship idols, must bear the consequences of their unfaithfulness. They may still be temple guards and gatemen, and they may still slaughter the animals brought for burnt offerings and be present to help the people. But they encouraged my people to worship other gods, causing Israel to fall into deep sin. So I have raised my hand and taken an oath that they must bear the consequences for their sins, says the sovereign Lord. They may not approach me to minister as priests. They may not touch any of my holy things or the holy offerings, for they must bear the shame of all the sins they have committed. They are to serve as the temple caretakers and are relegated to doing maintenance work and helping the people in a general way. However, the Levitical priests of the family of Zadok continued to minister faithfully in the temple when Israel abandoned me for idols. These men will serve as my ministers. They will stand in my presence and offer the fat and blood of the sacrifices, says the Sovereign Lord. They are the ones who will enter my sanctuary and approach my table to serve me. They are the ones who will fulfill all my requirements. When they enter the gateway to the inner courtyard, they must wear only linen clothing. They must wear no wool while on duty in the inner courtyard or in the temple itself. They must wear linen turbans and linen undergarments. They must not wear anything that would cause them to perspire. When they return to the outer courtyard, where the people are, they must take off the clothes they wear while ministering to me. They must leave them in the sacred rooms and put on other clothes, so they do not harm the people by transmitting holiness to them through this clothing. They must neither let their hair grow too long nor shave it off completely. Instead, they must trim it regularly. The priests must never drink wine before entering the inner courtyard. They may choose their wives only from among the virgins of Israel or the widows of the priests. They may not marry other widows or divorced women. They will teach my people the difference between what is holy and what is common, what is ceremonially clean and unclean. They will serve as judges to resolve any disagreements among my people. Their decisions must be based on my regulations, and the priests themselves must obey my instructions and laws at all the sacred festivals, and they will see to it that the Sabbath is set apart as a holy day. A priest must never defile himself by being in the presence of a dead person, unless it is his father, mother, child, brother, or unmarried sister. In such cases, it is permitted. But such a priest can only return to his temple duties after being ritually cleansed and then waiting for 7 days. The first day he returns to work and enters the inner courtyard and the sanctuary, he must offer a sin offering for himself, says the Sovereign Lord. As to property, the priests will not have any, for I alone am their inheritance. Their food will come from the gifts and sacrifices brought to the temple by the people, the grain offerings, the sin offerings, and the guilt offerings. Whatever anyone sets apart for the Lord will belong to the priests. The first of the ripe fruits and all the gifts brought to the Lord will go to the priests. The first samples of each grain harvest and the first of your flour must also be given to the priests, so the Lord will bless your homes. The priests may never eat meat from any bird or animal that dies a natural death or that dies after being attacked by another animal. When you divide the land among the tribes of Israel, you must set aside a section of it for the Lord as his holy portion. This piece of land will be 8 1/3 miles long and 6 2/3 miles wide. The entire area will be holy ground. A section of this land, measuring 875 feet by 875 feet, will be set aside for the temple. An additional strip of land, 87.5 feet wide, is to be left empty all around it. Within the larger sacred area, measure out a portion of land 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide. Within it, the sanctuary of the most holy place will be located. This area will be a holy land set aside for the priests who minister to the Lord in the sanctuary. They will use it for their homes, and my temple will be located within it. The strip of sacred land next to it, also 8 1/3 miles long and 3 1/3 miles wide, will be a living area for the Levites who work at the temple. It will be their possession and a place for their towns. Adjacent to the larger sacred area will be a section of land 8 1/3 miles long and 1 2/3 miles wide. This will be set aside to be a city where anyone in Israel can come and live. 2 special sections of land will be set apart for the prince. One section will share a border with the east side of the sacred lands and city, and the second section will share a border on the west side. Then the far eastern and western borders of the prince's lands will line up with the eastern and western boundaries of the tribal areas. These sections of land will be the prince's allotment. My princes will no longer oppress and rob my people. They will assign the rest of the land to the people, giving an allotment to each tribe. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. Enough, you princes of Israel! Stop all your violence and oppression, and do what is just and right. Quit robbing and cheating my people out of their land. Stop expelling them from their homes. You must use only honest weights and scales, honest dry volume measures, and honest liquid volume measures. The homer will be your standard unit for measuring volume. The ephah and the bath will each measure 1/10 of a homer. The standard unit for weight will be the silver shekel. One shekel consists of 20 gerahs, and 60 shekels are equal to one mina. November 22nd. Today, as we look into the New Testament, we begin reading in a new book, 1 Peter. The Apostle Peter was chosen to be the first to take the gospel to the Gentiles, but his ministry was primarily to the Jews. He wrote these two letters, 1 and 2 Peter, to believers scattered in five areas of the Roman Empire, two of which Paul had not been allowed to enter. And in writing these letters, Peter fulfilled the commission given him in Luke chapter 22 and in John chapter 21. The theme of the first letter is the grace of God, and Peter tells us how to live as aliens in a hostile world. The theme of the second letter is spiritual knowledge. He uses the word knowledge seven times in the letter, and he warns us about false teachers. Peter opens his first epistle by reminding his readers of what God's grace has done for them in saving them. And he then points out that God's grace helps them in various relationships of life and in the coming time of persecution. Peter sums up the themes of both letters in his benediction over in 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace, he writes, and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the only way to succeed in these last days. We begin, of course, today in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll read about the fact that salvation is a calling. We are chosen by the Father, who gives us the new birth. We are set apart by the Spirit, who gave the Word and enables God's servants to declare it, and gives sinners the faith to believe the promise. We have been purchased by the blood of God's Son, who died for us, rose again, and is coming for us to give us our inheritance. No wonder Peter opened his letter with a song of praise. So let's get to it as we begin today our reading in the New Testament. November 22nd, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people, who are living as foreigners in the lands of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, and the province of Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father chose you long ago, and the Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed Jesus Christ and are cleansed by His blood. May you have more and more of God's special favor and wonderful peace. All honor to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is by His boundless mercy that God has given us the privilege of being born again. Now we live with a wonderful expectation because Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. For God has reserved a priceless inheritance for His children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And God, in His mighty power, will protect you until you receive this salvation, because you are trusting Him. It will be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though it is necessary for you to endure many trials for a while. These trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. So if your faith remains strong after being tried by fiery trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you have never seen him. Though you do not see him, you trust him. And even now, you are happy with a glorious, inexpressible joy. Your reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. This salvation was something the prophets wanted to know more about. They prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you, even though they had many questions as to what it all could mean. They wondered what the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering and his great glory afterward. They wondered when and to whom all this would happen. They were told that these things would not happen during their lifetime, but many years later during yours. And now this good news has been announced by those who preached to you in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is all so wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. Psalm 119, verses 17 through 32. God's word will guide you on the pilgrim path of life. You're a stranger on the earth, and you need a road map to help you know the way. That road map is the Bible. Ask God to open your eyes to the word and keep your eyes on the way. Let your Bible be your trusted counselor. The word of God brings you the blessing of life, because it has life, and it imparts life, and it nourishes life, the Word of God. See, God's Word can revive and strengthen you. These are not just words on a page. This is where you meet God. These words are living and true. And God's Word will revive you and strengthen you, as I said, even when you're in the dust. 9 times in this psalm, the writer prayed for the new life from the Lord. Hey, no need to stay in the dust when there is life for you in the Word of God. Psalm 119, verses 17 through 32. Be good to your servant, that I may live and obey your word. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your law. I am but a foreigner here on earth. I need the guidance of your commands. Don't hide them from me. I am overwhelmed continually with a desire for your laws. You rebuke those cursed proud ones who wander from your commands. Don't let them scorn and insult me, for I have obeyed your decrees. Even princes sit and speak against me, but I will meditate on your principles. Your decrees please me. They give me wise advice. I lie in the dust, completely discouraged. Revive me by your word. I told you my plans, and you answered. Now teach me your principles. Help me understand the meaning of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful miracles. I weep with grief. Encourage me by your word. Keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your law. I have chosen to be faithful. I have determined to live by your laws. I cling to your decrees. Lord, don't let me be put to shame. If you will help me, I will run to follow your commands. Proverbs 28, verses 8 through 10. A person who makes money by charging interest will lose it. It will end up in the hands of someone who is kind to the poor. The prayers of a person who ignores the law are despised. Those who lead the upright into sin will fall into their own trap, but the honest will inherit good things.